Tuesday night, or Liyud Bey's Marcheshvin, to Aroch and Chavis Alvodas. The Shaila came up tonight to me. It was the Etzim Shaila. I got an offshoot of the Shaila. And the offshoot of the Shaila was that someone's child is getting married tonight, apparently, and they're in the middle of Shiva. Parent of getting married is in the middle of Shiva for either his or her parent. So I was asked, what are you allowed to say? What should you say? What would they to the Avela, to the parent, whether it's Chasun or Kala, I don't remember anymore. But I said, who said it? You're allowed to go during Shiva to a child's chasana. So I went through the Inyan a little, just even though I wasn't asked the Shaila. So Ramosha's Matrit, it's in the Tshuva, Yeridei Chelek Beis, he says it's considered a Hefsed Gadol to the parent. If the parent is a Ra'aved, if there's a Hefsed Gadol, you're allowed to eat Shiva, I don't know to what degree, I mean, to do Malacha, I know, I don't know to what degree you can sustel it. This is very strange to me that you could stop the Shiva and go mamishatel the Shiva totally, go out of the house and go to a simcha with his music and people. So I saw most, virtually all the poskim that I've seen forbid it. He explicitly is matirit, and he doesn't say, he can't say for the meal. He says it's a very big, considered a tremendous hefsed gadol. But then he said, you have to pay each thing. So he says, it's the meal. So he says, that's, if you tell a person he can't eat by his child's wedding's meal. So he doesn't consider it such a hefsed gadol. And I don't know. Also, I guess, you have to weigh each thing, each chelik of what he's doing, the attendant, he considers a hefsed gadol. Anyway, but almost everyone else, I looked around a little, everyone else is forbids it during Shiva. Once it's after Shiva, even if it's during Shloshim or Yud Beis Chodesh, they matir to stay for the whole thing. It became like Hefter Gomri for someone in Avelus, even during Shloshim or Yud Beis or parent, to go to a wedding, even to go to Sheva Brachas of a child. But this is a tremendous Chiddush during Shiva. Anyway, the question I was asked, so I said, you might as well talk to a novel. That's going to a house and you're being low. And it's appropriate, something happened that you could say Mazel Tov, you're allowed to say Mazel Tov to an Ovel. And I said you should also say Amokim Menachem Eschem. There's no tour from the Chiyuv of Nichem Allah to be the Tsar of them. Say Mazel, and you say Amokim Menachem Eschem. You should only know from Simcha Amokim Menachem Eschem. So Shavit Otsim Vishalayim. Okay, that's all I found. Anything. I didn't know what I would talk about tonight, but Hashem sent me a Bible. So, a little learning Chavis Alvavus, a little Shir Yechon HaMaisa. And in Perek Dalet, and in Perek Dalet he talks about obstacles to Yichud HaMaisa, which means single-minded devotion to do things because it's the Ratzon Hashem, not for other motives. So he says, he talks about three specific obstacles here. He talked about general obstacles in the previous Perek. Here he talks about three specific obstacles. So one is he doesn't really have a clear idea of that Hashem's, so, it sounds like this, but of course he does, but Chavis understands the human psyche. He says he doesn't really have a good understanding that Hashem's in control of everything and Hashem is in charge of everything, because if he would, then his response would be, of course, the way it says in Shara Avodas Elokim. And in Mela, there would be that single-mindedness, because usually when people have other motivations, it's because they think other factors control their lives, whether it's a shidduch, or it's getting into a school, or having a parnasa, or having friends, or whatever the case may be. So they think there's other factors that affect their lives, and they want to be machnif, as he calls it. They want to be machzir those factors so that the factors smile favorably upon them. But if you would understand that only Hashem is in charge of his fate and everybody else are just puppets and tools, so then you would we wouldn't be affected by other factors. You would be able to devote, to have that single-minded lishma. And then he goes on to say that, in fact, because he uses very strong Lashonos here, and then he says, in fact, there's four ways in which an Ovid of Avodah Zarah is conceptually better off than these people. And he says, Ovid of Avodah Zarah is, he says four reasons. Ovid of Avodah Zarah is, yeah, he says sometimes he has a shita, and that's what he holds. He has a very strange, he says, if there's no nevuah, so he might even think that he's doing an okay thing, I guess like the Mayenosh. But the Machnith knows, he knows very clearly that he's doing something outside the maslul of if he would think about it, if he would stop and think, he would know very well that he's doing something outside the maslul of an Oved Hashem. The Zorah doesn't even, is Oved something that's not necessarily rebelling against Hashem, but the Machnif would be Machnif to someone that's a rebel against Hashem as well. The Oved Chachavim worships one thing, the Machnif might be worshipping 50 people, 50 things. And finally, and this is like an old Yisrael, that you know how to be Nizr from an Ovid Avodah Kochavim, but you wouldn't be Nizr from a Machnif, and you'll pick up bad habits from him, because you think he's a very, very frum person, very fine person, very frum person, so you wouldn't stay away from that person, and maybe you'll pick up some of his bad habits. This is all reason for obstacle number one, specific obstacle number one. The second one is that he doesn't really know. It's very interesting. He says, what would be a, because he wouldn't connect it to the Yichud HaMaisa, he says, Lo Yovin Mitzos Elokim the Estorosov. He doesn't know, he's an Amar, he doesn't know the Dinim, he doesn't know what to do. He says, because Abul Alfani Hetzer Asichlos Midas Elokim. You don't know halacha well, or at all, or what you have to know, let's put it that way. So he does what he does things either out of, I guess, what this means, he does things out of rote, out of habit, what he sees other people do, because that's all he cares about. But if he cared about only doing things because it was the Ratzon Hashem, so then he would crack open a cipher and see what the Ratzon Hashem is. He wouldn't just, continue with his amaratzus. I guess that's what he means, because otherwise the connection is not so clear to me. Ein maaseh u'miyuchad l'shem akel b'avodoso shekimen sheinu meivin ofani ha'avoda b'sharoshi ha'toros koshkein shelo yodvin ofani ha'shlamosum b'yachei levovo bohem le'lukim. He says, if you don't know what to do, then certainly you can't focus what you do towards Hashem. So that's like a bigger level of avoda. So that's not so clear to me, because, I mean, you have to say lo amor et chosid, I guess you have to say. But, we're used to chassidish stories where the guy's a total amoretz, but he's, he wants to be Ovid Hashem very sincerely, he just doesn't know what to do. So there's a good joke that's told. It's not a joke, though. It's a very serious joke. So there's a famous story. The guy goes to shul, the shepherd, he doesn't know how to daven, and he whistles. That's how he knows. He doesn't know Aleph Beis, and he whistles, and that breaks through all the blockages, and it's the best kind of tefillah possible. It's totally pure. But there's an ending to the story. That it only helps that first year. If he whistles next year, he's finished.